Hey, what is up? Welcome back to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. If you've missed some of our recent episodes with the founders of Colony.io or heavyweight boxer and physicist Ed Lattimore, please make sure you go back and check those out. But today's guest is Molly Kaiser. Molly is a boudoir photographer who started her business at a very young age and has now grown into a six-figure entrepreneur. She also teaches people about how to market themselves online and promote their brand with video, but she goes in depth with the practice of building a photography business, finding clients, and carving out a niche that is specific to you that you can message to the market. A lot of good information here for aspiring entrepreneurs, photographers, and everyone in between. Here is my conversation with Molly Kaiser.
You're listening to Going Deep with Aaron Watson.
All right, so Molly, welcome to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. I'm excited to be interviewing you today.
Yay, I'm stoked to have a chat.
You are the second photographer that we've ever had on the show. Last one was way back in the 30s, John Craig, who's a good friend of mine. But you started photography at the age of 19. And what I'd really like to do to kick things off is to have you take us back to that very young age and both talk about why you got started in photography and what that initial process was like building a career in that field.
Sure. Yeah. So technically, before forming a business, I would tell myself I started my business at 17, but officially 19. So I was in high school and I was never really that great of a student, honestly, like really average grades. I just kind of did what I had to do to get through it and get done with school. School's never been my jam. So when I got my first camera, I just totally instantly fell in love with it. And I'm sure a lot of other photographers, pro or hobbyist, can definitely relate to that. But when I got my first camera, you know, that was my life. Like everything I did was revolving around my camera. Like my friends, I would have them dress up. We would go around town and take pictures, and I just loved it. But I didn't know that you could actually have a career in photography. So to me, it was just sort of this thing that I did on the side. And I was always worried about, okay, well, what am I actually going to do for a job like in the future when I graduate? So I was sitting in art class in high school and one of the local photographers came in to talk to our class and she was talking about how she had a wedding business and how it was really successful and profitable. And I was like, that's it. This is what I have to do. So I interned with her. She was very kind to take me under her wing because, you know, looking back, I really knew nothing. So that was very generous of her. And basically, I did that. I thought that weddings was really the only money in photography. So I did end up going to college and I hated every single minute of it. I studied photography, but they didn't teach you anything about business or how to actually make a career out of it. It was more, okay, create some art, put it in a gallery and like hope you get paid kind of a thing, which really is not. I like to be, you know, to know that I'm going to get paid. So I started shooting weddings and I did that for a few years. And what I realized was although weddings are fun and they're profitable, for me, first of all, I'm not really that into weddings and I had to work every weekend. It just ended up not being for me. So one of the brides that I photographed, she had asked me if I would take pictures of her in her lingerie. And I was like, whoa, I have no idea what you're talking about, but sure, let's try it. So what happened was I ended up getting into this niche called boudoir, which is where you take intimate photos of women to give as gifts to their husband. And that's actually how I got into it. And I solely shoot boudoir now, having a six-figure studio. So that's the short of my story.
What was that first camera?
Oh my gosh. So the very first camera I had, two of them, it was a Canon Rebel TI film camera and then also a point and shoot, probably Sony. And it was so bad, but it was amazing.
And so that's, you know, one of the many obstacles that sometimes people have in pursuing a career in a creative field, such as photography, which is this feeling that my equipment isn't up to snuff or I don't have these other variables. And very often the refrain you hear from the folks in the business is that it's really not about the equipment. That's kind of a secondary notion. Would you agree with that?
100%. Do you mind if I share a little something on that?
Do it.
Sure. So my first camera that I got, like when I was professionally getting into it, was a Nikon D50, which is not, you know, there's not a lot of pixels or high resolution, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just not that good of a camera. But what I know is that it has to do like 10% camera, 90% lens. So I got myself a 50 1.8. You can get it for like $99. It doesn't matter if it's Nikon or Canon, but if anyone's listening and they want to take nice pictures and they don't have a lot of money, get a 50 millimeter 1.8 lens. And it doesn't matter what camera it's on, it's going to take great pictures for you. Well, you have to take the pictures, but it'll make them look nice.
And it's also something where there really isn't anything to it, or not. That was a gross oversimplification. The fundamental improvement, and like you said, it's not just the lens that's going to do it, is getting the reps, taking a lot of photos, seeing what you shot, seeing tweaks that you can make, how you'd like to improve, and just iterating and iterating and iterating on your own process as a photographer. So you talked about the wedding side of things. You talked about studying this in college. Is there anything else that you've done to develop your skills as a photographer outside of improving your equipment?
Yeah, so I would say first and foremost, if you want to go to college, go for it, but it's not necessary for the field of photography. I don't recommend it for the field of photography in any way, shape, or form. What I do recommend is, you know, getting yourself a camera, a used decent camera, just something to get started with that has manual settings, and get yourself a notebook. And I know this sounds really simple, but honestly, just go out and shoot and experiment. Make sure that you're shooting on manual. Use your in-camera light meter and just take notes while you're shooting. You know, see how different, how things turn out when you're using certain settings. And if you can, I would even start out shooting on film. That way you can't, what we call chimping, is check the back of the digital camera to cheat. Because if you learn on film, then you'll actually learn how to read light and learn how to actually use your manual settings properly. So that's what I would recommend. So even if you're listening to this in high school or you're 20 or 30 or whatever, that's what I would do to get started, is get a film or a basic digital camera and just practice a lot.
That's great advice. You mentioned that you moved into boudoir photography, and that leads into another question that, or just thing I've noticed about photographers in general, and this applies in other areas, but I've taken some different photo shoots. I'm no model or anything, but just a couple, you know, headshots for my website and whatnot. And with different people that I've worked with, one of the biggest things that I've noticed, yeah, the pictures come out well with everybody, but there is a real difference in those who are more experienced. They're, I don't know what you would say, like the way they command the room, the way they put their subject at ease, the way they interact with the person that they're shooting. And that to me is one of those like kind of secondary or third skills. But when you think about getting the best shots out of a person or really helping them perform at a high level, putting that person at ease, coaching them into whether it's better poses or a better smile or a kind of just a more natural look, to me, I'd had no appreciation for that until I actually took a couple photos like that. What has your, I mean, boudoir photography, you're talking about taking pictures of someone in their underwear or nearly nude. How do you put these women that you're working with at ease, and how have you developed skills in that arena?
Yeah, that's, I love this question. So the whole time I'm nodding my head like, yes. okay, there's probably two types of people listening right now. They're business owners and they eventually need some kind of branding headshots, right? But they don't really know how to, like, how do they know who's a good photographer and who's not? So this question is going to answer that and those who are looking to be better photographers as well. So basically, when you're looking for a photographer or you just want to get better at your posing skills, yes, the number one thing you need to do is know how to command the room, be confident, you know, pose your client and give them direction. So what I always do is before I even start a photo shoot, before my clients even book. Like I tell this everywhere, all over my website, emails, everything. I tell them, you know, I'm going to pose you down to your fingertips. You don't need to worry about anything. If you've ever thought in the past that you're not photogenic, we're going to change that, because it's not you. It's the photographer that's like the reason you think you're not photogenic. Every person is photogenic. It just has to do with the proper posing, lighting, direction, those things. So some quick tips for people who either, like I said, are looking to hire a photographer or want to become a better one. Some things that I would do is, you know, look for someone, ask them questions like, okay, well, you know, do you give me direction throughout the shoot? Do you pose down to the fingertips, or do you sort of, you know, leave it up to me to do the posing? Because I've personally booked branding photos where they don't do any posing, and it's so awkward. Like, I am a photographer. I'm not a model. I don't know how to really do that when I'm behind the camera, right? But then also when I'm working with clients, you know, I'll say, you know, sit here wherever it is that we want to take the picture. I'll have them sit, and then I'll say, you know, don't worry about anything. Just sit down here, and then I'm going to direct you. And what I'll do a lot of times is I'll ask them if I can actually just physically move them, because what I find with a lot of my clients is that they just want to look amazing and they don't really care what it takes to get there, right? So if I have to move their hand, tell them to relax, tell them to take a deep breath, you know, relax your mouth, you know, look down with your eyes, relax your hands, literally every single command thing I can think of down to their fingertips, I'm telling them what to do.
And another group that may be listening to this are the people who are the aspirant Instagram influencer, or in some way looking or are taking photos of themselves, or maybe them and a significant other, a friend, are in not a professional capacity, you know, having fun taking photos at the, you know, next festival that they go to or whatever it may be. In terms of those just kind of basics of posing, how have you, it seems like another thing that you would learn just through taking a lot of photos, but are there any just like basic rules for maybe how to shoot a guy versus a girl, or how to position someone to help them appear more photogenic?
Yes. So I think posing men and women is generally pretty similar. I think men, you just want to almost pose less, like, you know, get them in the pose and then maybe like take one thing away. Like for a man, for example, like you might pose a woman and her hand is like in her hair and her arm is up in the air. Maybe for a man, you pose in the same way, but like take their arm down. I personally only pose women. So I'll be the first to say I'm not like a professional at posing men, but as far as tips go for posing, some things that I do, this one's really silly, but I think this would work perfect for Instagram, is let's say you are setting up your iPhone on a tripod with a timer, or you're taking photos of your friends or whatever it is. When you go to take a photo of someone and you want them to get like that really genuine smile or that genuine laugh, you yourself have to be genuinely smiling or laughing. So when I pick up the camera and I tell someone to smile, I'll literally like start giggling with them. And then that makes them giggle too. And it might seem ridiculous at first, but once you start getting your pictures and you see how amazing they are, you're like, oh yeah, I can do this. And I think another thing too is telling jokes. A lot of my clients, even for boudoir, they say that getting a shoot with me is like hanging out with their friend for the day. And I think with boudoir, a lot of people think like, oh, it's going to be like awkward and quiet and everything's going to be like moody and sexy. And that's not at all what it's like getting a photo shoot. It's really just fun, and it's like we hang out and we tell jokes. And so, like I said, some ways to get the good smiling, laughing is for you yourself to do that as well. Another way is to just get movement. So if you're not sure where to start, just say, hey, start back here and walk towards me. So walk towards the camera, and I'm just going to have you like grab the outsides of your dress and like turn side to side. So just giving them like one or two simple movements. That way they're not thinking about, okay, what should I be doing or what should I be looking like? You know, you're giving them something to do. So they're just thinking, okay, smile and do this. You know what I mean? They're not thinking like, oh my gosh, do I look okay? Am I doing this right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. I mean, I had a big smile on my face because I was thinking of when I'm either taking a photo of my girlfriend or other friends and we're like at, you know, a holiday party or vacation or something, my one move as the photographer is to just be silly, because at least I know they'll have like a genuine grin or laugh on their face, as opposed to kind of the posy, like, I don't know, stiff smile that doesn't really translate into a great photo.
Definitely. I'll say I'll literally say just the dumbest things. Like one of my go-to jokes that is, it's the dumbest joke. I'll say, what's brown and sticky? And they're like, what? Because it's so awkward. Like you're doing boudoir. Why would you say that? And I'm like, oh, a stick. And then they're like, what? That is so stupid. And then they just laugh. So just be, you know, just be dumb.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Another thing, and this was really, you know, in preparing for this interview, I was kind of just thinking about the field or the industry of photography. And we've done a number of real estate investing interviews recently on the show, Molly. And there's actually a lot of similarities in that there's kind of a core skill set, technique, evaluation skills, and then kind of fundamental business skills, networking, communicating, and evaluating different opportunities that come your way. But there's very distinct fields. We talked about some of these real estate investors, you know, they're in commercial or they're in multifamily or raw land or mobile home trailer parks. And it seems very similar with photography. You could have someone who's really into action and sports photography, someone who does weddings and events, another person who does branding and commercial work. And it's just very interesting to me that there's so many directions that you can go within this thing that still seems very specific to some people. Like you said, you got into boudoir photography, and I know you do a little bit of like the branding and commercial side of things. Have you can you talk about experimenting with these different areas and maybe what skill sets or personalities are better for the different subfields?
Okay, so what type of person would fit into what field, or more like if you should join networking or do different marketing strategies?
Maybe just like, are there people who do it all, or do those people tend to just kind of be like skilled in all but masters of none? Like, is it something where you really suggest doubling down on a specific area and being known for that niche?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yes. So a big part of my story, like I said, when I first started, I did mention weddings, but what I didn't mention is that I did everything. So I did actually start out, so I was in college, I dropped out, I was living with my grandmother, I had 81 cents to my name, I did have a camera. So what I did was I did everything that I could get my hands on. And I think that that's good in the beginning for you to really try every single niche, every single thing. So maybe it's weddings, boudoir, real estate, you know, portraiture, seniors, whatever it is. But eventually, if you want to go from 5 to 6 figure, you know, earning per year, I really think you should pick one niche and stick with it, because shooting different types of niches in the photo industry is like running several different businesses. So for example, if you want to get into real estate, you know, you would probably join a completely different networking group to network with realtors to book, you know, shoots for houses that they're trying to sell or whatever that is, versus like boudoir photography. Your website's going to look different. Your, you know, logo, slogan, everything's going to be different. One of the biggest questions I get from photographers is, should I have a different website for every different niche? And I'm like, well, yes, but also no, I think you should just pick one niche. So yes, I definitely think you should start out trying all different things and find the one you love and then go with that. And you know, I had so many people tell me that I could never make a full-time living with boudoir. I remember being at this event, and I used to do, it was a show for women, like a ladies' night out. And I used to have a booth for weddings, and then I switched to boudoir. And so the first time I went there and had my booth for boudoir, I actually had a man come up to me, whisper in my ear saying, hey, if you don't switch back to weddings, you're never going to make it. And I was like, okay, joke's on you, because I'm so going to rock this. And, you know, within the year I was earning double what I was earning doing weddings. But it doesn't have to do solely with boudoir. Like, yes, boudoir is profitable and amazing and rewarding, but I really think it has to do more with just finding the niche that you love and then going at that full force. Because if you're doing, like I said, all different niches, you're just spreading yourself thin and you're never going to be the master of one, like you said.
Exactly. So as we start wrapping up here, Molly, there's one area that we haven't touched on yet that I want to make sure we get to, which is your expansion beyond your photography business to working online to build courses and other educational materials for other aspiring photographers who are looking to grow their business and market themselves and answer these questions that we have throughout the interview about niching and building their skills. You grew your practice. When did you start realizing that the time was right to start educating other photographers about everything that you'd learned and that you had so much to share?
That's a great question. So I remember it vividly. I was sitting in my studio and, you know, we had the best year, well, best few years that we had had. And a lot of photographers had been reaching out to us. You know, my social media girl and my studio manager were like, we're getting so many emails about people wanting to mentor with you. And I just, you know, didn't have enough time to be doing that. So I strategically just took on one or two people to mentor. And after seeing their results, I was like, holy cow, like, you know, first of all, you're like, oh, wow, I can do this. I'm good at mentoring. You know, it doesn't just work for me. It works for other people too. And then seeing their results was like, wow, sharing my expertise, you know, this can really help people and change their lives. I mean, helping someone get from, you know, a failing business to a successful business is an incredible feeling. So essentially what happened was I never really thought about being an educator. People really just, you know, saw the success I was having with my studio and wanted to learn from me. So I just started out doing one-to-ones, but then I realized, you know, meeting with someone one-to-one and sharing your advice over and over and over again, it's not something that you can scale and it's not the best use of your time. So that's when I decided to put all that exact same information that I was sharing over and over and over again into a course. So that course is actually called Boudoir Marketing Camp, and I teach boudoir photographers how to market and how to book more boudoir clients.
And what areas or tools have you found to be the most effective, not only at marketing that course, but your business?
So which areas, which marketing strategies work the best for marketing boudoir photography?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So some of the top ones are my model call strategy, which is something that I literally made up. So it's a little bit hard to explain, but basically what I do is I had a slow month one time with bookings and I was like, okay, I need to get people into my studio now. So I came up with this idea of offering people free session, free hair and free makeup and giving them a $100 credit, and people would apply. And if I thought that they fit, you know, the what my studio was going for, my ideal client, then I would have them in for the free session. And then I would offer them the chance to purchase their photos. So essentially what I was finding was a lot of people with boudoir, they want to do the shoot, but they're so nervous that they won't book, number one. And number two, they don't want to pay for the photos until they know that they look amazing. So a lot of photographers that have you pay a session fee up front, but that actually makes people really not want to book because they're like, okay, well, what if I pay $300 and I don't like my pictures, you know? So this strategy that I do called model call, it takes that away. So that's a really good strategy. Number two is the events that I mentioned earlier. I go to ladies' nights out, bridal events, women's expos. I set up a booth and I just talk to people about boudoir, the benefits of it and how amazing it is and why everyone needs a boudoir shoot. And I think really the more you can just get in front of people on a one-to-one level and get away from your computer, the better. Because everyone's trying to do Facebook ads, everyone's trying to do, you know, social media. And I personally think it's all in the one-to-one interaction, like networking in events, and also following up with email marketing. Email marketing has been a game changer in my business and my life.
For sure. I love that getting out into the real world and finding the one-to-one connection aspect. I'm also just curious, with the nature of all the marketing and social media stuff becoming more and more visual, and these really are kind of intimate photos that you're taking, it to use some of the other examples, a wedding photographer or a, you know, action sports photographer can share every photo they ever take on their portfolio without issue. But because these are more intimate shoots, do you have trouble sometimes being able to put your work out there, or where does that line get drawn?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's really two aspects to this. Number one is you have to get your client's permission to share their photos. So with my model call strategy, another great thing from that is we actually require that they sign a model release in order to get those benefits. So that way, even if they don't order, you're for sure getting images that you can use for marketing. And then also just asking your clients, you know, and respecting their wishes, obviously. But the next thing is that, yes, a lot of boudoir photographers do see a kickback when they're trying to run Facebook ads and things like that. So my motto on that is I always look at the photo and I think, okay, if I was like, I pretend that I'm at work, which I've never had like a real job. I've always just been an entrepreneur, but I pretend like I'm in a cubicle. And if my friend or coworker or whatever came up behind me and like saw what I was looking at, would they be terrified or not? And if, you know, so I try to go on the side of conservative. So some examples is like, instead of, you know, lingerie, I'll post a photo of like a sweater, like a girl in a sweater with underwear. So like kind of boudoir, but a little bit more glamour and conservative. And when you side on that, Facebook always approves your post. I've never had a problem with Facebook ads in that, but I also live in a very conservative town in Wisconsin. So I think I have that eye for knowing like what people are okay with and what people are shocked at.
Yeah, it's definitely something where you got to know the market that you're in as well. That's great advice and definitely insightful. As we aim towards wrapping up, Molly, before we tell people where to connect with you and you issue that personal challenge, is there anything else I just haven't given you a chance to say today that you were hoping to?
I would say if anyone is interested in boudoir and you're, you know, nervous about trying it, I would just say just go for it. Like do a shoot for a friend or, you know, find a model or anyone that you can find and just try it out. But really anything that you're looking to try, you know, just give it one shot and see if it's right for you. Because yeah, you never know until you try all these different things. I didn't even know what boudoir was before I got into it. And now here I am today. So.
Boom. I love it. This has been great. We want to make sure people can connect with you in the digital world, Molly. And I know you have a gift for the audience as well. So what digital coordinates can we share with everyone today?
Sure. So if you are interested in learning about boudoir photography, my website is boudieshorts.com, B-O-U-D-I-E shorts.com. And then if you're interested in learning about building your email list for any type of business at all, I do have a gift for you. You can go to ventureshorts.com/go-deep. And I share my top email list building strategies of how I built my email list to 35,000 subscribers. And then if you're just any entrepreneur who wants to learn, you know, better marketing, online tactics, you can go to ventureshorts.com.
Awesome. We'll be sure to link to that in the show notes. GoingDeepWithAaron.com/podcast is the place to find all those links and more information about Molly as well. But as we do at the end of each episode, Molly, I want to give you the mic one final time to take things away with a personal challenge for the audience.
Okay, so my personal challenge for all of you is a 14-day email list building challenge. So what I want you to do is right after you stop listening to this podcast or after the next three episodes you listen to, I want you to decide, okay, in the next 14 days, what's your goal for what number you want your email list to be at? And then I want you to, you know, go download that freebie, put those strategies into play to actually reach that goal. So it's ventureshorts.com/go-deep.
Awesome. And the email list, you know, it's a necessity for any modern business person. But for some of the people out there who think, you know, I don't have a business or I don't necessarily know what I'd use that for. There is a common refrain throughout the industry of entrepreneurs saying if they could go back and change one thing, they'd start their email list sooner. Having a direct point of contact with the people who are following what you're doing is so incredibly valuable, and it is not privy to a Facebook algorithm change or a certain social network falling out of favor. It is timeless. Email has been around and is going to continue to be around. So I think that is a great goal, a great challenge, and just an excellent resource that people should be checking out once again in the show notes. Molly, thank you so much for sharing your time with us today and all your expertise.
Thank you so much for having me.
We just went deep with Molly Kaiser. Hope everyone out there has a fantastic day. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Please hit subscribe if you've not already done so. And get excited for some of our forthcoming episodes. We have the founder of Wealthfront, one of the biggest robo-advisor companies out there looking to disrupt the wealth management market and financial services at large. Andy Ratcliffe is coming on to talk about that, being a Stanford professor and one of the most famous venture capitalists on Earth, Benchmark Capital. He co-founded many years ago. That and much, much more. You have to be subscribed to Going Deep with Aaron Watson.
Thanks for listening. Connect with Aaron on Twitter and Instagram at AaronWatson59.